Hey, everybody, welcome to the Roofer Coach Podcast, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach, and today is going to be something a little different because it's a travel day for me. I'm actually flying out to meet with John Delorier of Delorier Roofing, who is my co-host of the show. We've got a number of things going on, the Roofer Coach, and the number of the programs that we've got, and really going to get into this. We're going to do a couple of podcasts from there, so it's going to be great. Got some great news coming out, particularly about our mastermind groups. These things are really kicking ass, and we're going to make an announcement here in the next week or two. So I'm heading out to record that, but for today, we're going to talk about my favorite topic, which is all about me. So I'm bringing up an old episode of my business coach that I had for probably 20 years. He's kind of my spiritual advisor now, maybe, but also ski buddy. We do a lot of skiing together, always have. How I built my business, how the coaching with him really made the difference in what we did to build a successful business to the point of exit. It's really, hey, Dave, this is your life. And I'm starting to tear up here a little bit, but we talk about on this show that you never talk about yourself when you go out to a prospect, when you're making a proposal. Just never use the word we, me, our business is this and that. Look at all our awards. Hey, nobody gives a crap, okay? What's in it for them? And this is why we always talk about our prospects. And this is what I'm talking about in this case, our listeners. There is a lot in it for you. I'm just goofing about myself, but it's a good story and I think you'll get a lot out of it. So we're going to get into that. But I want to stay consistent. We're developing a format for the show and we're always keeping in mind our avatar. Who are we speaking to? And my avatar, who I speak to, and how I make this show focus down on how we help that avatar, that one person, was me. Back when I was running my business, I was struggling to grow my business. Say 10 years in, I'm doing okay, but god damn, it's still a struggle. Can't make enough money, got wearing all the hats, all the same crap we talk about all the time. And it was a struggle. So I can, you know, granted it was a few years ago, but I can clearly remember how that was, how I felt, what that was all about. And that's what we try to speak to. And that's what this show is about. So in our format, what we do, where we're going with this is, first off, we do coaching every day. We talk with contractors every day. And every day we hear pretty much the same stories over and over again, the same problems that we struggle with. And we're trying to come up with solutions for those problems. And that's what the show is about. So if we can share some of the calls that we had, you know, this is what we kick around, and it's not, we don't know all the answers, but it's like, okay, how about if we try this, let's look at this, or, you know, this is what's worked for some contractors. That's what we talk about on the show. So we take the first, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, chew the fat about that. Chew the fat. When's the last time you ever heard that saying? Come on, Dave, speak to your audience. What we talked about in some of our calls, what John experienced in his week. I always like to hear about that because he's always got some crazy stories that remind me of why I'm on this side of the fence, which is doing consulting and not in there, you know, fighting a battle every day. God damn it. It's tough. I understand that. I've been there and done it. So we start off with that. And then we get into what I call the one thing. And this is part of our planning process It's the one-page business plan. If you go there, go back to our website at theroofercoach.com. You can download it for free. It'll get you started on the process of planning. And God damn it, man, it's freaking almost the 1st of December. The year's gone. What's the plan for 2023? This is what we talk about all the time. So the one thing is, I think, a really important concept, which is, you know, we do our business plan. We come up with, you know, there's a million things that we should be doing, and we can get overwhelmed by that. But what's the one thing that will make the biggest difference in your business right now? That's the one thing. And we want to focus on that. We don't, you know, it's not the only thing, but it's the one thing that we need to focus on. And let's get that done. For instance, we talked about building a service department last week with Brian Mitchell. If you didn't catch that show last week, you want to go back and listen to that, because it was a great interview and how to do it. And it can be a great part of your business, particularly as we're coming into slower times. That's what really kicked our business off. I mean, we were very successful during slow periods, during recessions, during, you know, economic slowdowns. So that would be an example. So what do? We say, okay, we're going to build a service department. What do we need to do? Here are the 5 tasks that need to be done. How do we delegate those tasks? Who's going to do them? And what are the stages that they need to report back to us? And what are those dates? We always have a completion date, the next stage, the next action, and then when are we going to have this damn thing completed? We have to set a date, and we have to make those deadlines, because, I don't know, what's that? A plan without a deadline is a dream, or one of those things. But you have to set that. So that's the one thing. So I think this is really important, and I like to do this each time, because it's all about the takeaway. Give me, you know, you can go to these seminars and you can learn, you know, there's a million things going on. And, oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Blah, blah, blah. You get back and you deal with the freaking, you know, fires as soon as you get back on Monday, and it's chaos again. You don't do anything. So we talk about implementing one thing. I'm going to give you one simple thing to do each week. So that's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to keep consistent with that. I'm going to come back to that. But today we have got this great interview. I think, you know, this is my consultant, we used to call him that back in the day, my coach. Basically, we met and we laid this out with action steps. And that's exactly what we did. We had a business plan. And this is really where, you know, all of this, what I teach now, comes from. This experience over the years. We did a business plan every year. You know, we spent a lot of time on it. There's a lot of money involved with it, and brought the team together. Everybody was on the same page. We presented our business plan to our team. Say you're a football coach, okay? You go into the locker room and it's like, okay, guys, get your shit together. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go out there and we're going to kick some ass. Here's the way we're going to do it. And get behind me and get with the program and let's go. And that's leadership. You've got to have that. All right. Well, let's get into my story of the week here. Now, I can talk about all the calls that I had. I had a lot of them. Talked with a lot of contractors, a lot of interesting stuff. But I want to tell you about my weekend. I was down at Pebble Beach in California. Okay. Live in California. Yeah. I usually don't publicize that much because this guy's not like California, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of problems here. Taxes, politics, all the bullshit. But the weather is awesome. Pebble Beach, man, when the weather is good, which is, you know, 1 out of 50 days, it's usually foggy and cold. But God damn it, it was beautiful this weekend. So we are down there for my son-in-law's golf tournament. Now, he's a professional golfer. He's been on the PGA. He's lost his card. He goes back to the Corn Ferry, the web.com, back and forth. You know, and it is unbelievable, the struggle. It's so tough. So back on the PGA, and where the money's at, you know, it's amazing. So the story is about persistence and consistency. We are at Pebble Beach. It's the TaylorMade Invitational Tournament. TaylorMade is one of his sponsors. It's a big deal. It's not a PGA tournament, but you know, there's some big money involved, and you know, he's invited to this. He actually won this tournament last year. It's freaking awesome. So he's defending his title. We're down there. Golf is, if you guys play golf, it's such a shitty sport. I hate it, you know, but I love it. You know, that's what keeps you coming back. So here he is. He's kind of struggling and so forth. But the point being is that here's the third day. You know, you play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You got to make the cut to Sunday. So he makes the cut. He's playing, you know, he's about, I don't know, in the top 10, which is freaking awesome, right? But the point being is Harry finishes 18. It's a slow round because there were some, you know, it was a pro-am, so it's really slow. There's a bunch of amateurs playing with him. So this is like a five and a half hour round. Walks through this. It's exhausting. Okay. So I had to walk most of it. Here he is, finishes 18, and he goes and putts for probably, I don't know, 2.5 hours. Till it was dark. Till it was after dark. And he practices. Unbelievable. I hate putting. It's so freaking boring to me, but that's how you win. Yes, you make putts. So he's just out there putting and putting and putting. The point being is that, you know, he makes it look easy. You go out there every week and do this, but God damn it, this is the hardest working guy. It's unbelievable, you know, how much he practices. The point I'm making is how it relates to our roofing business is it's all about the consistency. It's all about doing the small things over and over and over again, not only showing up, but getting out there and practicing, whether it's your role playing for sales over and over again, like batting practice. That's what we call it in our coaching program. We're going to batting practice. Okay. That means we're going to practice our role plays. You know, okay, you play the customer, I'll play the roof salesman. We go back and forth and do that. It's just practice and it's consistency. And, you know, this is what makes champions. This is why he's at that level, professional. I mean, you know, one in a million. It's so hard and they make it look so easy, but God, what goes into it? And it's the same with your business. You know, for me, it took me a lot of years to become an overnight success. Okay. You have to really practice and just get out there and do it every day. It's the little things, consistency. It's the basics, the basic blocking and tackling. All right. That's my story. So let's get into the one thing. What's the one thing this week? What's the takeaway? Well, the takeaway is, God damn it, it's freaking, you know, December. If you don't have a business plan set for next year, you got to get on it, okay? And this is how you can do it. You can go to our website at theroofershow.com, theroofercoach.com. It'll take you there. I've got a free download. It is the one-page business plan. In case you've been living under a rock, hey, the economy is changing. Things are going to be different this year. If you do the same things over and over again like you did this year, it's not going to work. Okay, you've got to change your plan. What's going to happen? What's going to be different? How are you going to deal with these slower times? There's going to be fewer opportunities, fewer leads coming in. The pie is shrinking, the amount of roofing that's going to happen this next year. You know, I may be wrong, but everybody in the country that I talk to is reporting fewer leads, fewer opportunities. It's getting tougher. And what happens then, you know, this is the thing. Okay. Most of our listeners, most of you guys, you haven't even been in business 10 years. So all you've seen is just a, you know, blue skies and sunshine. The economy has been incredible. You've never seen a downturn. It's just been up and up and up. It's like, oh, hey, nothing to it, man. No, you know, fish were jumping into the boat. Any clown could make money in this economy. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's different. I've been through a few recessions in my day. No, not the 1929 recession, depression, but I've seen a few. I've seen some slowdown. How you deal with that is going to be everything. You know, you've got to plan for that. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. But what happens if you get a 20% decrease in sales? What's that going to look like? And you have this big ass overhead. And this is what I've seen is a lot of contractors have just, you know, kept adding to their overhead without any real plan, without, you know, a strategic plan of why they're doing this, who they need, a good, clean organizational chart, really dialing this down to doing what you do profitably. You're not trying to be everything to everybody. You're not doing window siding, you know, gutters, sidewalks, concrete, whatever the hell it is. You know, you've got to niche down in times like this. We talked about it for the maintenance program. That's what we're talking about. So you've got to get started on planning. And the easiest way to do that, you know, is go to our website and download the one-page business plan. It'll get you started on the process of planning because that's what's important. You know, we ask the questions, you provide the answers. You've got to think about them. And these plans, you know, they change. If you did one last year, we need a new one. You know, I love the quote by Iron Mike, by Mike Tyson, the boxer. You know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth, okay? The plan changes. You got to be able to adapt. And that's really what we've got now. So check out the plan. Take you a few hours. It'll just get you thinking about it. If you want to get deep into this, this is what we do. John and I do business planning. We set this up. We've been through this, and we know what to look for. And the way that you plan this out, the way our lead generation is going to happen, it's going to be different. The way we attack the sales, customers, our, you know, prospects, they got a different mindset now, man. I mean, they are really watching their pennies. Well, does that mean you got to be cheap? No, you've just got to be better. You got to show the differentiation, why you're better, why you're the obvious choice, because we still have to hold our prices. The race to the bottom where, you know, everybody washes out and we're going to have a big washout. And you do every time the economy slows. This party may be over, so get your head out of your butt and take a look at what's ahead, man. I mean, you know, look forward and get a plan together. So that's what I got for today. That's the takeaway. Simple. What do you do? The one thing, go download the plan, spend a few hours, get away from your business, think things through. It'll kind of walk you through just a real simple process. And it'll really get you thinking. So check that out. Okay, well, John, our listeners are saying, hey, I hope for a speedy recovery because this guy's all over the board. Somebody needs to reel this guy in. And that's what John does for me. Keeps me on task. It's kind of going sideways. But before we get into the interview, which is really good, I mean, this is a great interview with my business coach. We just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. And the first is the Sales Transformation Group. We talked about this last week with Brian Mitchell, and we talked about how to build a service department and the courses that they have over there at the Sales Transformation Group. And that's where he's got his. And these guys will teach you how to sell. They'll teach you how to sell with confidence, set up a good sales process. And this is more important than ever because we're going to have fewer opportunities, which means we have to improve our close rate. And the way you do that is improve your sales skills. And it is a skill that can be learned. You need to learn how to sell. and do it the right way, and you'll improve your rates. But they've got some great courses over there, some great classes. So go check these guys out and see what they've got. I'm sure there's something there for you. You want to go to salestransformationgroup.com/roofershow. And I've got to change that to the roofer coach, I guess. They will walk you through there, set up a call with them, see what they've got going. They will teach you how to sell. It's going to make a huge difference. It's the best investment that you can make coming into slower times. You can have all the great sales skills in the world. If you don't have any leads, it doesn't matter. And this is where peak leads really comes in. If you are a commercial contractor or thinking of getting into the commercial space, these guys will get you onto those roofs where you're dealing with the decision maker, the building owner. And that's what I like about Peak Leads. They have a great program for doing that. They really use technology to get you on those hard to connect with building owners, the roofs that you want to be on. And go to peakleads.io, peakleads.io. That's Nick Perrette over there. They do a great job. They'll get you on those roofs. And we've got a number of guys in our classes that use them, very successful. So check them out. All right. Well, let's just jump into our interview. It's an old one, but it's a goodie. So this is with my business coach, Rick Dutmer. Just going to get into the show.
You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach, and I have been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. Check out my website at theroofershow.com. Find some great strategies, tips, and free downloads to help you build a more profitable roofing business. Today, I've got an awesome show that I've been looking forward to for a long time because I am interviewing my old business coach that helped me build my business over 30 years to be an extremely successful, profitable business that I was able to exit successfully and do the things that I wanted to do. So these are the kind of things that I set up as a goal, as my destination of where I wanted to take my roofing business. And we worked on that plan, as we talk about all the time. You start with the end in mind. This is where I want to be. Take that vision, and you go back and build a roadmap to get you there. And that's what we did. We started out when I first hired Rick. I was struggling. I was wearing all the hats. I'm not making any money. I'm busting my butt 80 hours a week, working weekends. And I just said, this is not the way I wanted to do it. I grew up in a family business and I saw my father doing this. So I kind of followed in those footsteps. After I got out of business school, I came into the business, took it over from my father because he was sick. So I had to step in there. I did not know what the hell I was doing. And it had nothing to do with business school. You know, I get thrown into this thing and all of a sudden you can just toss all that crap. And I'm having problems getting respect from all the men that loved my father. He did an awesome job, but he was tied to this business, chained to the business where all the decisions came through him. He just could not delegate the work out to others, because he thought that they wouldn't do as good of a job as he could. So therefore, he was not able to do the things that he wanted to do, which was he wanted to travel. He wanted to do these things. He had dreams. My philosophy, the way that it works. One, you get started and you've got the time to do things, but then you don't have the money. Then you're working in your career, you're successful. Now you've got the money, but you don't have the time. You move on and now you've got the time and the money, but you don't have the health. That's what happened to him, unfortunately. And he never got to do the things that he wanted to do. And I said, I've got to do this differently, but I'm following in the same footsteps. So I hired a business coach to help me dig out of this and build a plan, a business plan of where it was that I wanted to go. And a step-by-step plan, because I could see I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to be chained to my business. I want to be able to take time off, spend weekends with my kids, watching my I got three boys, watching them grow up. Also, we wanted to travel, all of us, and we did that. We were able to put that together. We followed a step-by-step process of building a profitable, extremely profitable organization. We did that by focusing down on what it was that we did well. I talk about this all the time in the show. That turned out to be commercial roofing because we were losing money in the residential. We were doing everything. We'd do, you know, anything. We'd be everything to anybody. And that's not the way to run a business. And that's what happened. The first thing we came in and did, he took a look at this, where we were making our profits, and it turned and break it into profit centers, because we were doing a number of different types of work. And what really worked well for us was doing commercial re-roofing, no general contractors, always being the prime, building a sales team that's going out there and can show the value that we provide that makes it worth a higher price to hire us. Then we were able to get into the maintenance business, the service and maintenance. And that is what it's all about. It's so profitable. And we grew that end of the business. And what I did was try to build that mix, you know, where we start off, maybe we were doing 10% in maintenance, then we grew it to 20 and 30, and ended up at 40% of our business was maintenance and repair and coatings and service. And most importantly, it builds reoccurring income. Reoccurring income that a buyer of your business can see, and that's got value because it's not just going out there and bidding your work. You know, being the low-cost producer, the low bidder, in that race to the bottom, this is where you build a profitable business, because we really get into how to build value in your business. We talk about the different buyers that are out there of roofing businesses. It's not easy. It takes a lot of years to do it, to get your business in a saleable condition where there's value and somebody's interested in buying it. Unfortunately, the vast majority of roofing contractors bust their ass 20, 30 years and say, hey, I'm going to sell my business, and they get out there and there's no buyers. It has no value. It relies on you or maybe a couple of key players, and that's it. And the business is nothing without you. That has no value. So we really get into how to build up a business with value, a saleable business that you can exit from and do whatever that is that you want to do. Maybe you want to continue to work there. That's fine, whatever you like to do. Me, I like hanging out in Italy. Spend a few hours every morning doing some business. And today I've got two Zoom calls with coaching clients. I've got a Zoom call with my business coach. This is another one for some businesses that I have now. I was always able to travel. You can do this from anywhere in the world if you set your business up correctly, and I always did. I could manage my business. I had a great organization where you had people that took responsibility, that we held accountable, did their job, and told me to get the hell out of the way and let him do it. That's fine with me. But because I set up a dashboard, and we refined this over the years, where I could tell what was going on. I knew what jobs were out there, where we were on in the pipeline, what kind of work we had going on, what was the profitability. We had job costing nailed down, so I always knew if there was going to be a problem, if we were on track, and I could contact our supervisors and say, what the hell is going on? I could make sure that we had the cash coming in to pay our bills. I got to get out there and collect those receivables. What's happening with this job and why haven't you collected the money? That's the kind of thing that you should be asking as a business CEO, as an owner, as a manager of your business. And this is how you do it. And we get in deep on how to build that success. And it's really a step-by-step process. It takes a lot of years. You've got to be clear on that destination, what it is that you want to do. And, you know, from day one, you should really be thinking of, how am I going to get out of this business? Eventually, you know, and hopefully it's not being carried out in a box. But for you to be able to make that choice, you have to have options. And that's what we're going to get into in a minute. But before we do, I just want to thank our sponsor, and that's Ruby Receptionists. They are virtual receptionists. They take over that front desk. They answer that phone immediately with a professional, friendly voice. Because if you're rolling these calls over into voicemail, your prospects are not going to leave a message. They're just going to go on to another contractor where they can get a live person and get the answers to the questions that they've got. And in addition to that, they will leave a great first impression. And that will tee up the sale. It makes things so much easier because most contractors don't even answer the phone. The number one complaint for people looking for service contractors. So this is one way that you can separate yourself from the pack. So check them out at get.ruby.com/theroofercoach. And we've got a special deal there. They'll knock off up to $150 on the first month's service and see if it's right for you. All right. Well, let's get into our interview with my old business coach, skier extraordinaire, Rick Dutmer. We are going to learn how to build a profitable business that will support you in a great lifestyle for you and your family, and also build a valuable business that you can sell in retirement. We're going to talk about what's out there, how to do it, who's going to buy it. We get into all the details, so let's get into it. Rick, what's going on, man? Great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
We've been trying to set this up for, probably a couple of years, because the one thing I want to talk about, the title of the show is an interview with my business coach of 20 years. So we still keep in touch. We're still skiing together. It's been a pretty good run. So what I want to talk about today, though, is how we got into the coaching, kind of the beginning of my experiences with really getting this business up going, because as you know, and I talk about on the show, is that it had been a struggle at the beginning. And when you came on, I don't want to say that you turned the company around, and it's all thanks to you. But we worked pretty well together, and we built a pretty damn good organization. But I know what you're doing now is more in the M&A, where you're doing a lot of exit planning, exit strategies, selling companies, buying companies. And I want to be sure to get into that. But first, let's talk about what is it that you're doing? Maybe a little history on how you got started in the business, because, well, I'll let you go ahead and tell the story.
Right. Well, I've been in some form of consulting with construction companies since 1988. Out of graduate school with an MBA in finance, I hired with a company called FMI. And we worked only in the construction industry. So that's where I was, I guess, baptized into consulting and worked with a lot of different subcontractors, including a lot of roofing contractors and general contractors in the productivity area. So I got to learn a lot about the field for a while. After many years, I transitioned in to do much more strategic planning, which is a lot that we did together, Dave, when we worked a lot together in putting together business plans and how the company's going to kind of march forward and how they're going to develop and grow. And then after that, I spent much more time in mergers and acquisitions and continuity planning, whether it was an internal sale of the company to employees or family or an external exit to a third party. So I spent a lot of time doing that for many years. And more recently, I went off on my own several years ago, started my own practice. And today I probably split my time. 50% of my time is spent as a board member. I'm on the board of four different construction companies and give advice, I guess, from the boardroom, if you will. I would say probably 30 or 35% of my time is spent helping people with continuity planning and how to exit their business, whether it's an internal or external sale. And I would say the balance of 15% or so of my time is spent on things like strategy and compensation planning and some things like that. So that's how it's developed over the years. And always have kept my focus on the construction industry and helping contractors improve their businesses.
So what I'd like to do is really kind of a lot of our listeners are where I really started off, where we got together and the value of coaching. I talk about my experience with buying out my family business and just really never making the money that I thought I should. It was a struggle. You're just working your butt off. You're wearing all the hats, all the things we talk about on this show. The one thing that I did was, hey, I needed help. I realized that I couldn't do this alone. As I recall, you actually cold called me one time and I go, hey, what a coincidence. I just happened to be looking for somebody. And this is what you were just starting off. I was just starting off. Then, you know, we built this business together. Well, I won't give you too much credit, but we built a great business based on where I wanted to take it. And then finally to the point of a successful exit. So let's talk about briefly what was happening with my business. Because when I started this show, when I started the podcast, something that we all talk about is identifying that ideal customer and coming up with your avatar. Everybody's got a different ideal customer for their business, but they have to identify it. So what I've done in this show is identified my audience. Who am I speaking to? And that is really the contractor that may be struggling, that needs help at the same point where I was, that we got together and started coaching. Because really, that's what made the difference, identifying where I wanted to go and then coming back, building a roadmap to get us there. So let's talk about that, take an old walk down memory lane a little bit. Tell me about the business planning, because I've stolen most of my stuff from you, you know, after going through this for years. But let's talk about how we really got started identifying the type of work that we should be doing, where I wanted to go, what we had to work with, doing the employee interviews. Walk us through that and how we got started and really just, you know, how do you build a business plan for a roofing business?
Right. Well, you know, I think we had several, it was a fairly structured process to begin with. Number one is we look at the strengths, the weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of the company, right? So that's, everybody calls that a SWOT analysis, and that's been around for a long time. But really what we did is we took a pretty hard look at your sales and business development process, your operations process and how you go about executing the work and the quality of that work and, you know, your success with that. And then you look at the financial side to see, are we measuring up to say to what we think we are, you know, and are we getting the results we think we're going to get? So how do we do that? Well, we looked at people that were in sales and we interviewed them. We had some questionnaires that they filled out. We interviewed them. We asked about the strengths and weaknesses of the sales and what opportunities were in the market and what are the threats in the market. So we did that with your salespeople. We did that same type of thing with a different focus on the operations side. So we spoke with several superintendents, your manager of the field at the time, which I think might have been you, Dave. I don't know that you had a general superintendent at the time.
Yeah, I was wearing a lot of those hats.
Yeah. And then we talked to, you had somebody doing your accounting. So we talked to them. And we really got to know the company well in the process, but we also started trying to identify where the weaknesses were of the company, where the opportunities were of the company. I do remember at pretty early on, we talked about who your customers were, what markets they were in. And we forced you to do something that I don't think you'd done before, which was by market to do a completed jobs analysis. So we looked at each project and put it in a bucket, whether it was a residential re-roof or a commercial re-roof or a waterproofing or whatever you were doing at the time. I guess we compiled all that information, started to look for trends in the data. And, you know, we weren't as married to the jobs as you were, and we weren't as married to the customers as you were, so we could look at it pretty objectively. And once we looked at that, and then we said, okay, that gives us a good idea on gross profit. We weren't really allocating overhead at the time, so we decided to allocate overhead to the different types of work. And it became fairly evident that the residential work was not a moneymaker. In fact, it was a loser, and it was sucking up all your time with callbacks and issues with customers. And, you know, you were dealing with $2,500 roofs versus a commercial job that might have been a, you know, $300,000 job. We could deal with a couple callbacks on that, but, you know, having to go back to the neighborhood after you've left, we decided was, that was a decision point, if you will. Just an example early on of what came out of that process of going through a good SWOT analysis.
And that really changed everything. I talk about this on the show, but taking a step back, I probably stole this from you, which was the idea of the three-legged stool, where you've got to sell work, do work, and keep score. And really, the idea of keeping that stool in balance and strong, and what tends to happen, as I talk about all the time, is that one of those legs gets weak. You've either, you know, what we have now is we've got a ton of sales, but we don't have the people. So the sell work leg is strong, but maybe the do work is not. Our production is weak because of just the lack of people. And so we're throwing B players out there, really not training them properly. We're scrambling to try to get this work on. And now we're having a real slippage problem where we're losing profitability on the jobs. Or what can happen is that you've doing all this work, you're pumping it out, but you're not getting the bills out. The scorekeepers are not able to keep up. You're not getting job costing. So you really don't know what's going on. You don't have control over the jobs. We don't have cash coming in because the bills haven't been out. The next thing we know, we've got a cash crisis. And again, all of those legs are equally important. And exactly what you were talking about was going around and interviewing all of the people that were involved and taking a look at this. And that's something that really jumped out at me about the vulnerability of the business and, you know, really how the structure was set up. And that's something that I do when I work with contractors, actually kind of follow the same idea because it is a step-by-step process. And then really coming in and identifying what markets, what profit centers are really working and what's not, because this is the next problem that I see with too many companies. They're doing too many different things. And, you know, they're doing siding, they're doing windows, they're doing roofing, residential, commercial, they'll do anything. And when I say, well, you know, some of these are probably not making money, where do you make your money? Well, I'm not sure. It was exactly the same thing that we dealt with. Once we switched over to what we did well, which was commercial roofing, I mean, it just took off and went from there. That's not to say that some, you know, that everybody should be in commercial, because I hear that all the time, but maybe you're making your money in residential and that's what you're really dialed into, because they're really two separate businesses. So we really identified that, spent a lot of time. And as you said, the SWOT analysis, seeing what, you know, strengths and weaknesses we had and really what opportunities are out there, because we're looking forward to building this plan. What does the future look like? We always start at the end. What do we want to do with this business? Where are we going? What is it that we want? And that's different for everyone. For me, I came from a family business where my father was just, you know, he was chained to the business. So he didn't have the chance to do the things that he wanted to do. I mean, and it was just, you know, he did everything. And, you know, we looked at it as a rake structure of management where all the decisions were coming through him. So I saw this and I said, well, my goal is to not have to do that, be able to step back, put the people and the positions in place where it didn't require me to be there all the time. And also the long-term goal was, with that in mind, that's our exit strategy, because I know what we're going to get into here in a little while, is the idea of building a saleable business. And that really starts with, should start with at day one, because this is how you build out a business that has value, number one. And number two, just allows you to do the things that you want to do. You can step back. I always call myself the orchestra leader. That was my job. And, you know, was to make sure that everything was in balance. Be able to just look at my management reports, my KPIs, and follow those on a regular basis. So I always knew what was happening and I could make these tweaks here and there. But that's really building it out. And with that sale in mind, that's what's building value. And we're able to, you know, be able to exit this business, because so few contractors are able to do that. They get to the end thinking that their company's worth a ton of money, and it's basically worthless without them being there. And this is what we want to get into. So let's go ahead and jump into that, because we built this business with the business plan, met regularly. We would get together three times a year. Back in those days, I'd have to fly you out there, pay for that, pay for your room, pay for you to come in. And it's a big production. Now we're able to do a lot of this over Zoom, and we're able to do it for a hell of a lot less money and a lot less time. Moving forward, building out this company, anything you want to add to that, Rick, before we get into valuation and how our contractors can eventually set their business up for sale?
Yeah, I think maybe just to kind of finish the bridge there that we're building. I mean, we talked about originally kind of doing an analysis of your company and how we got started and strengths and weaknesses. But all that led to, what are our long-term goals and what's the vision for the company? And you kind of stated that, Dave, and the fact that you wanted to have a company that had a strong management team that allowed you some opportunities to be flexible with your schedule, to travel, to do other things that your father wasn't able to do. But, you know, we had a goal of you know, being a very strong Bay Area player in the roofing market, being profitable, and, you know, allowing some freedom for you as an executive. So all that kind of played into that business plan and strategic plan. I look at it as a business plan as maybe a 1 year or 2 year plan, and a strategic plan is much a longer horizon. And so we started with kind of an evaluation of your business, but that led us into the strategy and the long-term planning. And that's what we kept up to date and kept working with you on. And, you know, we kept coaching each other and doing those things, you know, for the next many, many years. But ultimately, you've got to decide, well, how am I going to get out? Right? I mean, you got a business that's up and running, and everybody has to deal with this. And as you said earlier, you know, should you be thinking about that day one? I think it should be at least in the back of your mind, day one. Day one, you might have some more pressing things about how to get a job and how to find somebody to put the work in place, et cetera. But as you build the business up, you always as an executive that's at the top, need to be thinking about that horizon. And that horizon is getting closer. And how am I going to get out? And what does that mean? What are my goals for getting out? You know, the goals kind of transition from a business goal to a business / personal goal. Personal goal being kind of your estate planning. You know, what is in it for me as I exit? And then the business goal is what's the business continuity look like? How does the business continue? You know, that's what I think we ought to talk about now, Dave. But I just wanted to build that bridge a little bit about Mm-hmm. You got long-term goals. Well, one of them eventually needs to be exit goal. You know, what's my strategy for exit? You've got a strategy for growing your business. You got a strategy for growing your people, hopefully. Well, what's my strategy for exiting?
I want to just touch on one thing that you said earlier was focusing on profitability. And this is something I deal with my contractors constantly, where what are your long-term goals? Well, I want to be $20 million company. I want to be this big company. And I think in this industry, that is where everybody's headed. And I always come back to know what's important is the profitability. It's not necessarily the sales. This is a margin-sensitive business, not a sales-sensitive business. I think that is so important because particularly as we get into exit planning, they're going to be looking at profitability. Have you been profitable for a consistent period of time? What kind of money is this company making? It's not all about the growth. And until you have this strong foundation, I always say, you really can't grow profitably. So you've got to start off with those processes, those systems, making sure that that three-legged stool is solid. And only then can you really start growing. And there's too much emphasis, I think, on the growth in sales. You want to add anything to that with your experience of what you've seen?
Absolutely. I mean, volume kills, profit thrills is an old saying. But most contractors that go out of business go out of business because of too much volume and too much sales than too little. And why is that? Because they
say that again so we can emphasize that point.
So most contractors that get into trouble, that end up going out of business, go out of business because of too much business or too much sales, too much revenue versus too little. So they grow too fast. They outrun their coverage, if you will. They outrun their supply line and they start putting B or C players on a big project that they won. The project goes in the tank and has huge profit fade. It becomes losses. They're not making money on that project. They've had other projects they've started up at the same time. Their cash conversion cycle becomes stretched out. They're putting B players. They're, you know, you're kind of like the putting your finger in the hole in the dam, and then now there's another hole in the dam. And pretty soon you run out of fingers to stop the dam. So most companies that go out of business from negative results are because they took on too much work and didn't price it right or didn't execute it right or a combination of those things. And, you know, they just can't control what they have, end up with some real negative ramifications, oftentimes bankruptcy.
I always talk about how we're not in the carpet business. We're not going to make it up in volume. That's not how to run a business and that's not a strategy. Don't you agree?
I do. I mean, there are certain times you need to take a bigger job to maybe get into a new client or whatnot, but you've really got to plan that job. You got to put your A team on that job. And obviously you're going to stretch the company from time to time and you're going to learn from that. You just can't stretch it in three or four different directions all at once and expect it to, you know, bounce right back. I mean, sometimes that'll put you into a position where you run out of cash or you, you know, have a huge issue on a warranty or something that you can't deliver on. And next thing you know, you can't stay in business. So, I agree with that. And, you know, profit thrills, volume kills. I work with contractors, Dave, that I have one client that I've worked with for a number of years, and they just can't seem to get beyond 2% net profit. Now they're still in business and they still chug along and they know how to manage their risk, but you know, they do $100 million worth of volume a year and they make $2 million. Well, I do work with another contractor that does $12 million a year and he makes $2.5 million.
Yeah,
I mean, he makes 20% or plus, you know, 20, yeah, whatever that is. It's close to 20%, I think. And they do that on a fairly normal basis. So I, you know, where do you want to be? That $100 million with $2 million in profit is a lot of risk for that low profit.
Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of stress. You know, I always say, let's do less work and make more money. We're going to have more free time. We're going to have more control. We're going to enjoy it more. It's just otherwise you're just on that cycle, man. And it can be brutal. And I see too often where I say, you know, these contractors get out of their lane. So here they are averaging, you know, their average job size is $40,000. And here along comes this $500,000 job. Well, they're going to tie up their top people on this, let's say, all summer long. And they go after it aggressively, thinking, well, if everything goes well, you know, we're going to kill on this. Well, generally things don't go all that well. And here you are just buried in this job, just trying to get out, and you're not making any money. And there goes your whole summer, rather than just, you know, I call it, rather than going for the fences every time, you know, you're hitting singles and doubles and you're kicking ass and winning the game.
Right. Well, once your people are, you know, once you have enough depth on your bench, you can start taking an occasional swing at the fence. But if you don't have enough depth, you got to be careful of that.
Yep. All right. Well, we've got a business that I think is going pretty well. I don't really know, but I'm not getting any younger. I'm getting stressed out. You know, it's kind of beating me up. I want to look at exiting this business. And what I found, and I think you would agree, I mean, time goes by really fast. And, you know, when you think you're going to come out with this, you know, and you're going to be sitting on the beach somewhere for the rest of your life, you know, counting your money, it doesn't always work that way. And when it does, it takes years to really get a good strategy, plan it out, because you've got to have the people in place, the processes, you've got to show consistent, strong earnings. You've got to have good financials over a period of time where they're going to be looking at this. And this business has to have value when you're not there. Otherwise, it's not an exit. you can never get out of this. So you have to build a business that doesn't rely on you or just one or two key people. Agreed?
Yes, I agree. But, you know, it comes back to the goals of the current owners, right? So I always like to start with questions about, you know, what's important to the current owners of the company. And that, you know, maybe one owner might own the whole thing. It might be a family ownership. It might be several key owners that are also employees. You know, a lot of different ownership structures, but you find out first, what are the goals for those people that are the current owners? And, you know, so those could be personal goals and those could be company goals. So in one instance, you might have somebody that says, my main concern is the continuity of the company, and the company keeps moving forward, and that it takes care of a lot of families, and that it continues to, you know, feed and clothe and everything else it does for these families. That's my main concern. Another person's main concern might be, I want to maximize the value I get out of this thing at exit. I don't really care what happens to the company. I mean, right? So you really got to think through what are the person's values and what they think about the company, and, you know, what are their goals. And for one person, that's easy to get your arms around. If it's several owners, it might be a little more complicated. You know, that's kind of where we start. And then we start thinking about what are really the options. There's a lot of tools you can use, but if you don't know people's goals, you might pick the wrong tool. So don't get enamored with a tool first.
Right. And I think
understand the goals first.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I see with too many contractors is everybody thinks, you know, here's this pot of gold out there. That's what I want to do. And part of my 8-step business plan ends with, it's called the view. You know, here you are on top of the mountaintop. What's that going to look like? Because you get so many contractors that get to the end, they sell their company, they miss the action, you know, what the hell are you going to do? You know, I never developed any hobbies. I really didn't develop any friendships outside of the business. And now here you are at home driving your spouse crazy. So you may not like what you see. And I think this, you might agree, where a lot of business sales tend to fall apart when they haven't really thought this through well. And right. You get in the middle of this and all of a sudden realize that I'm always bitching about how, you know, this is so difficult and such a grind, but really that's my life. That's what I enjoy. That's what I want to do. And I don't know what I'm going to do when I sell this, which is why you see these guys working when they drop dead. Is that something you see?
Yes, I do see that. And sometimes that's unfortunate. And sometimes it's the decisions they made purposefully to have that happen, even though they might not like what the result is for everybody else. They never made another decision to change that course or that. You had several different options. The first thing, though, I think, before we talk about options on how to exit, is the two things you need to have in place that are very helpful and almost essential in any of these is you have to have a strong team, assuming you want the business to continue. You have to have a strong team that can continue the business beyond you or your generation. The second thing is there needs to be some cash flow. The thing has to be making money in order to successfully complete a transition. You can edit that a little bit, Dave. But
adding value, yeah. Okay.
But, you know, I mean, if a company is going to transition, you have to have money to provide the means, I guess, to make the transition, especially on the internal transition. And then you have to have the people developed. So once again, there's options you can take, but if you're not making money and you're not developing your people, your options become very limited on how to exit the company. In other words, if you have a good strategic plan in place and you're executing on your business plan and you're making money and you're developing your people, you got a lot of options on how to exit. If you're doing everything and you're 65 years old and you're still making all the decisions, you still own all the company, it's not making great money. It may provide for you for one person, but it wouldn't provide for more than that. You're going to have very limited options on how to exit the company.
What are some options on how to exit my business?
Right. Okay. So you have, I guess, probably five main choices would be what I would kind of put them in buckets. I'm not making value judgments on these. They are just different choices at this point. We can talk more about them in depth here, Dave, as we go. But one is you die at the helm, and that's a choice. It's usually a choice because you didn't make other choices. But you run it until you die, and you leave it to the estate planners to figure out if the business can continue and how the money moves at your death. So if you had a good estate plan and you had a good amount of cash in the business, and if you were benevolent and you wanted to give some of that away to the next generation, maybe the business continues. But I don't think it's a good solution now I can make a judgment on it. But it is a option, not a recommended option. But it does happen. And it may happen if you're young and you're running the business and, you know, this a death or a disability happens, in which case I would say you need to have a red truck plan in place, even at an early age, in case something happens to you or the owners of the business. You know, how is the business going to continue? So a red truck plan is what I call that. You know, what happens if you get hit by a red truck? So that's kind of the first bucket, if you will. The second bucket is you can run it until you decide to retire. You could shut the business down, do an orderly liquidation, basically running it. You don't try to keep the business going, and you're actually going to, you know, close the business while you're alive and while you can get some money out of it.
And that's a bad choice because there's no value in that business then, because you've got a bunch of old beat up trucks and some equipment and so forth. You're going to end up, auction 5 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good option, but some people take that option, and it's also hard to shut the business down because you've got some jobs usually at the end that you're trying to finish out. Your employees notice that you're not bidding anything. You're not winning any new work, and they start leaving, and you've got jobs to finish. So you end up maybe having to pay stay bonuses or other things like that just to get your jobs closed out. Otherwise, people are fearful they're not going to have a job, so they quickly try to get a job at a competitor or whatnot. So I'm not saying that's a great option either, Dave. It's just an option. And occasionally I see it happen. And you know, as long as you made really good money during the time that you had the business and you took that money out and diversified it into other investments, that could be a strategy that you could retire and live off your investments that were generated from the money you made in the company while you ran it. The most popular approach is typically selling to the next generation within the company. I always recommend only selling to people that are working in the company. And that could be, you know, non-family employees, or it could be family employees. That's where I think it's good to have a coach and an external view of it, because you need somebody that's objective looking at what the potential is of your various leaders in the company. So, you know, this is an approach that, you know, you can kind of plan out, you know, pick your people, make sure they're developing, figure out, you know, how are they going to buy into the company? Are they going to buy in with a little bit of their own money? Are they going to buy in through bonuses? Are they going to buy in through, you know, extra distributions once we've awarded them some shares, you know, those kind of things. So that can be very orderly. If you do a good job of really thinking it through, it can work. So that's another option. We can talk a little bit more about that.
I agree. That's the best way to do it, I think. But one, it takes years to really develop your guys to understand how to run a business. They may be great in sales, they may be great in production, but it's a whole different thing about running a business and being able to develop those skills in whether it's family or whether its employees can be difficult. Also, these guys aren't going to have any cash. So if you're trying to exit with a pile of money, that money's got to come out of earnings over time. So you're not walking away with a big wad of cash. And if it turns out they're not running it profitably, you're in a world of problems, you know, 5 years down the road, don't you think?
That's right. Yes. The money does come out of the business typically to buy out the business. However, you could maybe stay involved longer than you normally would have. But if you've delegated all the key decision making in the day to day, you can stay involved, you know, at a fairly low risk if you know they're doing a good job, and you can still get a piece of the profit for a long period of time. So while you're getting your money out over a longer period of time, you still get to kind of transition your career slowly. You get to transition into your other interests in life slowly. And ultimately, you probably get more money out of that approach than you would selling to a third party all at once, you know, which is another option we can talk about. But, you know, you got to do a really good job of picking the right people, the right horses to ride, right, into the sunset, because they're ultimately going to be the ones that are making the money in the company to buy you out as an existing owner. But if you run a spreadsheet on it and you get paid out over several years, and let's say you're 100% owner and you know, the next year you're 90% owner and then you're an 80% owner, and you're still participating in the upside of that percentage with distributions, you could certainly pencil it out to where you'd get more than you would today. Now you got risks, right? Because people are going to have to continue to perform and you're going to get paid out over time. Where in the third party sale, you would get most of your money up front, not all of it usually, but most of it. Moving on to a third party sale, the problem with a third party sale for most roofing contractors that are of modest size, and I'll say modest size being less than 5 million or maybe even less than 10 million in sales, there isn't a very big market for selling your company in a third party. I would say your chances of selling in a third party sale for a company that's $5 million, that's, you know, making decent profit, is probably 10%. So it's not a great way to bet the farm. In other words, I would rather have a company plan for an orderly sale to next generation employees or next generation family. And then if a third party opportunity came along, you could look at it, but you already have a plan in place on how to transfer your business, right. Regardless of whether a third party sale ever comes to fruition or not.
Because I think the strategy is all the same as building this valuable company because regardless, you're not going to be there. That's the idea, is that you want to be able to get out of the business. And by building, it's the same strategy, is that you've got to build up this profitable company. You've got to build your people. And I like the idea of, you know, looking at that next generation. You know, what's the next generation going to look like from an outside buyer? Isn't that important?
Right, exactly. I mean, they're not buying the past, they're buying the future. So a buyer, an external buyer, is looking at a few things. They're looking at the depth of your team, the profitability that they generate on a consistent basis, the market that you're in, what's the growth in that demographics of that market. You know, it's better to look at Austin, Texas than it is to look at, I don't know, pick a Rust Belt town that hasn't done very well. You're going to get a little more value if you're in the right market. So, you know, it really comes down to risk profile, consistency of profit, how deep your team is, who's going to stay involved in the business once the leaders exit or the owners exit, kind of the niches that you're in. Are they defensible? You know, are you in a niche that's hard for other contractors to get into, or are there 15 people on every bid list? You know, if you're publicly bidding and there's 15 bidders on every list, that's not a valuable company. It's just too competitive, and there's not going to be a great opportunity there.
But if you've got a great service department, for instance, that has reoccurring income, this is why I like to focus on getting, particularly in the commercial market, is building that service department, building where it's more consistent, consistent flow. It's not that, you know, big list of bidders, don't you think?
Yes. Service business is much more valuable than just a project-based business. And the reason is what you say, Dave. It's consistent. You can predict it. You can look at the past and say, this has been, you know, 30% of our business. It's a 10% gross profit, or it's a 20% gross profit, or it's a 30% gross profit, you know, business. And once we allocate overhead, it's still a, you know, 8% net or 6% net or whatever it might be. And you can kind of prove to a buyer that, hey, this is not that risky. We've got this dialed in. So the bigger the portion of your company that can be, I guess, allocated to the service sector of your business, generally, that would be more, you know, appealing to a buyer.
Okay. So did we cover all our options?
Well, I think there's a couple other options that are out there that I don't know that are great options, but they're out there. One is an ESOP, employee stock ownership plan. These have been in vogue recently. They've been more accepted and more popular. I don't love this solution for a small to medium sized roofing contractor. Our companies are fairly volatile and risky anyways. If we're going to basically have a retirement plan take over our company and have all the employees be owners, now you have people whose jobs rely on the company and whose retirement relies just on the company. You're not very diversified. If the company has a hiccup or a problem, stock price could certainly go down. You might not get anything out at retirement. And, you know, it's just a very volatile, tough type of a business that doesn't, I don't think, match that well with an ESOP. The other problem I've been seeing is that, you know, an ESOP needs to be valued every year. And there needs to be an initial valuation as well. And sometimes the exiting owners are a bit greedy. They find someone that will value the ESOP at a high number. Typically, that will put debt on the company. And so you're leaving a company where you may have gotten some cash out, but you're leaving debt with the company that the company's burdened with paying off before they can really generate much upside in the stock value in that company. So, depending on if the bank writes the note or if the seller has the note. You know, if the bank takes the note, the seller can cash out. But I don't think many banks would underwrite an ESOP note in a medium or small size roofing contractor. So it's going to end up being the seller that holds the note.
Right.
I mean, if they price that too high, you know, you're not going to pay it off. you're going to have a bunch of disgruntled employees because their stock price didn't go up. They don't know what it means to be an owner because stock does go up and down in value if you have a bad year or a good year. And it just becomes fairly complicated to govern and to message and to educate all the employees is what it means to be an owner.
I hear that.
I don't think it's a great solution in most instances, mm-hmm. although I do see more contractors trying it because I think the exiting owner hasn't done a good job with putting a plan together and can't sell it to a third party, doesn't have time to develop people, so quickly kind of puts an ESOP together. I don't love that solution.
It's also expensive, you know, fee-wise, setup cost and so forth, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it is. And you have to have the company valued every year. So, you know, there's a cost to that every year to do that. And, you know, in certain instances, it's worked. I just don't think we're the best industry for that
business. I agree. Well, let's, you know, something I'm seeing now is it's come back. It always comes back when there's so much cash in the market, it tells you how crazy things are, is the roll-up. Okay, we're starting to see these roll-ups again. We went through roll-ups, oh God, it was the big thing just probably 20 years ago. If we, you know, come together, we're going to have all these benefits of economies of scale, all this business. And they're coming up with these valuations that are look attractive. And I'm seeing more and more of these things again, where, you know, that was a bad experience for most everyone the last time it came around. Sounded like a great idea. And I've got a number of contractors that have contacted me and said, hey, what do you think about this? I'm getting offered some pretty big dough right now to get out. It just seems to be the beginning, but I always think it's crazy when, you know, it just tells you how much dough's out there, how much cash, when people are looking at putting roofing companies together because there's so much risk involved. You want to just touch on that real quick and why that may not be such a great idea?
Well, you know, the last go around, you know, the company I was with previously, we had a big hand in helping put together one of those. And that was just because a couple roofing contractors, they approached us with the idea and they had a little bit of financial backing and they said they wanted to try this. So we helped them kind of put together the initial seven or eight companies that went into a roll-up that ultimately rolled into Tecta at one point. But the challenge with it is oftentimes it's not a cash deal. It's a deal that says, you know, we'll give you some cash and you'll get some stock in the new company. And we plan on having an exit from the new company in, you know, 5 to 7 years or 4 to 6 years. With a much higher valuation at that point, and they call it the second bite of the apple, and you'll get a big piece of that, you know, or we might take it public, right? And then you'll get a big piece of that when your stock becomes tradable on the public exchange. So, you know, you really got to look closely at, you know, what are they really offering? I mean, they may give you a high valuation, but you don't get much cash. So really, what's the valuation based on? Their future earnings and their pro forma that they kind of put together, you know, with some sort of predictive model. And if it's overly optimistic, the valuation is going to look high. And that might entice you. But really, it's just numbers and it hasn't been proven out. So you got to be careful of that. You lose control typically right away of your business. You can't make decisions on buying or selling stock. You can't make any decisions about, you know, who's running the company. You can't make governance decisions that you might typically make. So you do lose that control quickly. And like I said, it might be a lot of it's based on the second bite or an earnout. And you're not in control of your own earnout because they could replace you or they could replace other people in the company or they could redeploy your resources in another area. So you do lose some control. But, you know, I wouldn't say rule it out. I would listen to somebody. And if you're not sure what they're really offering or if you haven't been very experienced in it, you know, get some advice on how to really evaluate what their offer is.
Yeah. When we went through this years ago, you know, we were approached and, you know, when you get down to the nitty gritty, it really becomes an issue of, as you say, control, because you can get canned. you don't have, I mean, we got into this business, we became contractors, so many of us, so we could control our own destiny. And now you're talking about working for this large company. And the first thing that goes, you know, because they've got to make it profitable. So that, you know, Ferrari that you are driving, that's out. So now here's the keys to your new crappy sedan, country club, you know, any of those things that you may have had, the big expense account, those things are gone. Now you are, you know, some pencil neck working for a larger company and you're working there. You have to continue to work there as doing this workout. And that's not the goal of an exit strategy. You want to be selling your business so you don't have to be there, is the whole idea. So I, you know, this is something, I hope it's not here to stay, but this is something you really got to be careful of, because when you get down to it, there's paying no attention to the man behind the curtain, man. There's more to it. So,
but it can be, for sure. I mean,
yep.
You know, if you could negotiate a deal for mostly cash, and if you could exit in a fairly short period of time with just some 1 year consulting agreement or something, right. You know, there it's, like I've said, it may be worth at least looking at. But when you get behind the curtain, there's a lot more to it. Usually, I mean, I worked with a company just a year and a half ago that I helped. I worked on the sell side, so I helped the seller. It was a really good sized subcontractor, not a roofer, but in the mechanical electrical space. And they negotiated we all negotiated kind of together, and I was part of that. I negotiated a fairly good deal, but you always got to be ready for the ramifications. I mean, they had a chairman and CEO, they had a president, and they have a CFO. The president and CFO were changed out within 6 months by the buyer. And the chairman CEO is still there, really just because he wants his people to be, you know, feel comfortable with the whole transition. And, you know, he loves being part of the business, but, you know, he's much older. He got most of his cash out of it, but he did invest a little bit on the second bite of the apple. About 20% of his total valuation that he was going to get was reinvested in the next company. So they promptly replaced his president, replaced his CFO, and they're running it how they want to run it. And he doesn't really have a say. He's more of a figurehead now. And he still has, you know, several million dollars tied up into this second entity. So you do lose some control, and you got to be prepared for that. If you're prepared for that and you're okay with it and you get the money out that you wanted, you know, those are a lot of ifs, but if you can make that happen, then it might be okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it remains to be seen, because that was fairly recent, what the turnover in the company might be, based on how the new president and how the new CFO are going to run things.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, we're going to have to wrap up. Unfortunately, we didn't get into how to really evaluate these businesses, how the evaluation's done, what they're worth, so on and so forth. And I know there's a lot of questions about that. So maybe we'll have to do another show on that. But in wrapping up, I think really the key here is that you've got to really, you got to start planning early. I mean, it's never too early to start looking forward, because I always say we're in this business for two reasons. For the most part, is number one is to provide a great lifestyle for you and your family, and two is to build a valuable, saleable asset that you can sell, or have the option to sell, or have, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, but you've got the options to support you in retirement. So in wrapping up, Rick, anything you want to add to this before we get some information on how to get in touch with you?
Well, I think just a time horizon. These things usually take 6 to 10 years to transition a business fully on the ownership side. And it probably takes at least that to build your management team and put in place a management team that is going to be able to buy into the company. So if you add another 10 years of that, you got to do that first, right? You got to develop your people. And once you know they're good enough and they've got a lot of potential and they could be good owners who understand risk and they good decision makers that can make tough decisions. You know, once you've got them developed to that point, you start selling them some shares. You know, that takes 6 to 10 years, probably, if you're doing an internal transfer. So, and that's how most of these businesses transfer. So you really need to look at a pretty long time horizon and get started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. And get some help to do this. You know, you can get a business coach like myself, someone like Rick that can put this plan in place. And as you say, is really take a step back and look at it from an outside person, the big picture, that can make honest recommendations on how to do this. So Rick, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
I think the best way is email. And my email is rdutmer@duadllc.com. rdutmer@duadllc.com.
Awesome. Well, this has been great. It's a good time going down to those old memories. It brings back a little pain, but a lot of joy. And it was a great ride. I really enjoyed it. But, again, without giving you too many pats on the back here, we really did put this together and built a great business. It's, and you told me this. I mean, it's like a blank canvas. I mean, you can make a business whatever you want. And it just takes a lot of planning, a lot of effort, a lot of thought, but you could do it. You could make this whatever it is that you want and whatever you want your business to do for you, because it really can. And it's a great industry. I love it. And Rick, hey, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. That's some great information for our contractors, and we'll get ready for ski season.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. If you want to get started on building your business up into a saleable asset, we can do that in two steps. The first thing is go to my website at theroofershow.com, download my free one-page business plan. It will get you started thinking about the process, the steps that it takes to build a successful company. And once you've got that, go to my contact page on the website, click that big button, set a time with me. We'll have a 45-minute free call. We'll talk about the strategy, your business, see what's going on, and see if I can help you. And until next week, we will see you on The Roofer Show.